We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Andy Liu, it is November 16th, 2015. Oh, I'm sorry, 2021. What is that? That was a hell of a game. The Warriors beating the Brooklyn Nets in Brooklyn. KD and Harden did not even play in the fourth quarter. MVP chance for Stephen Curry. I don't know that there's a better game. Right? I don't think
you could have written it better.
No. No, that game was the Warriors going into Cleveland after beating them for the first championship and just running them off by 35. And Steph, after the game, saying, it still smells like champagne in here. That's what that game felt like tonight. What that game felt like.
So we're going to get into it. But like to me, watching Steph in the post-game interview, I saw a dude who's like, this is nice, but we are coming for everyone. We heard everything everyone said the last 2 years, and I've had enough of it. Yep. Year one, KD left. He broke his hand. It was a weird year. Then the pandemic, they spent half of last year trying to figure out what the heck they were doing. Finally, they figured it at the end of the season. Didn't quite work out in terms of a playoff run. Hitting the ground running, 12-2. I don't even know where to go with it. Like, who's more impressive, Steph or Draymond tonight? Like, you can make a case for either.
I'm going to start with Steph, but we're going to get to Draymond. But Steph, he's got that look where it's, I've heard everything you fucking said, and I'm going to pour this on. I don't give off. I don't care. Every game, he's going out there and he's saying,
smirk.
Yeah, every game. He's saying, I heard what you said, Bruce Brown. I've heard what the fans are saying. I've heard what the analysts are saying. Even if it's not fair or unfair, he's saying, I'm going out there. And like you said, 12-2. This is just the beginning, man. Like, that's exactly what he's saying. He's going to turn 34 years old in March, and he looked like he was in a time machine tonight.
I got a text from a friend of the show whose name I will not disclose. Saying 65 wins, ? And at first I was like, come on. And then I was like, dude, can't take that bet because it's not out of the realm of possibility. That's all I know. Like, they look like the peak Warriors, rolling teams. We can get into like the micro things that like we think might be a problem down the road. But I feel, look, man, I said they finished third in the West. You had them at fourth or fifth.
A little lower. Yep.
People were calling us homers for that. I was thinking, and honestly, I still feel pretty good about my pick. I was thinking in the 50s. I don't think that sort of thing's out of the realm at this point. Like, they need health and a lot of things go their way. But, like, I don't see any way in which they don't win a ton of games. I'm not talking about 50. I'm talking, like, 60 range.
They didn't even shoot well tonight, Sam, outside of Steph Curry. Like, they didn't even shoot well. Nobody made a three in the first half outside of Andrew Wiggins and obviously Steph. Like, they had their entire...
No one made a three outside of Steph. Yes.
Like, they didn't even shoot. And we came into the season thinking that this team would be the best shooting team in the league. They had nothing but shooters all the way up and down the roster. And tonight they come out there and they're breaking everything, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because Steph is that good offensively. He came out and he did one of those things where we haven't seen enough in the last year plus. Is he came out here and he just said, I'm just running this in your throat. I mean, I don't care. I'm chucking them. They're going in, and I'm going to put on an absolute show. MVP Chance in Brooklyn. Do you see that? MVP Chance.
I only know one other player in my lifetime. Actually, two. I take it back. Only two players in my lifetime have got MVP Chance on the road with this type of consistency. Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Those are the only two I can think of who, like, when they went to town, if they were, you know, if they were putting on a show, they got the MVP Chance. So I'm going to throw that out there, and that's kind of who Steph is for this generation, in my opinion. It's like I don't care if you think other players are better than him. Those other players don't get kids' imaginations going the way Steph does.
Not a better showman. I mean, just not a better showman in the league, where pulling up from 30, but the way he's doing it, there's no grifting in his game. There's no dribble, dribble, dribble. He plays, he's cutting, he's doing everything where it's like nothing's hard to watch about Steph Curry. And then he goes 37. That last three that he makes after the whistle, where everybody's that was crazy to me. Everybody's rooting for him to shoot a 35-foot three with the Warriors up 30. And he makes it after the he makes it after the whistle.
The smile is also the best, because, like, you know, if you're the opposing team, you want to hit him in the face so bad.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Bruce Brown wanted to take his knees out at least six times that game. I mean, that's the thing. Pre-game, you hear the stuff, and then you go out and put on that type of show, like you're saying. MJ Kobe with the type of love that he gets around all the arenas. But that's also the type of killer instinct that I think they always think Steph doesn't have that type of killer in him, because he just doesn't look like that type of guy. He doesn't do that type of stuff. He doesn't say that type of stuff.
Because he doesn't respond to everything, because he doesn't get all caught up in whatever that's to say. But, like, you're right. So
let's get into the game before we get off the call of it. I thought obviously Steph was the story of tonight, but I think the secondary story is the Warriors' defense was phenomenal. Oh. I thought Brooklyn got out to a great jump on them, but a sign of a good defense is adjusting to it pretty quickly. By the third quarter, KD had no airspace, and I don't want to say they exposed Brooklyn, but they kind of exposed Brooklyn for what they are, which is just one-on-one talent. And if you put KD on an island, I mean, he's the best one-on-one player of the league. He might be the best one-on-one player of all time, but one man's not beating a team if that's all they have going for him. And that's really, like, that's Warrior basketball in a nutshell to me, where it's like, that's why they've been having the big third quarters, in my opinion, all year. It's high IQ. They adjust to teams as they go along.
The defense was phenomenal. Let's go down the list. It starts at the top with Draymond Green. He's been Defensive Player of the Year so far, just like how Steph has been MVP. But did you see the type of work? I thought this game that he would play off ball and primarily chase around everybody else but KD and Harden. I don't mind that, because you want him protecting the rim and making the right plays. But for a vast majority of that quarter, Draymond Green was contesting KD shots. And KD's next game, KD against the Warriors, probably going to go for 35. But this is one of those games where you want him taking those pull-up mid-range shots instead of getting the hole. And Draymond just cut that stuff out. And with James Harden, Gary Payton, and Sam, let's talk about it. Kevon Looney did a great job on him. Kevon Looney might be James Harden kryptonite at this point. It's been 5 years, 5 years running with those guys, where it's, and they play that type of box and triangle and two and box and one defense. And that's the stuff where you see the difference between those type of superstars, KD and Harden, versus Steph. The moment those guys, the ball leaves those guys' hands, they're standing out there in the corner or at the top of the key, and that's it. And all of a sudden, we're watching DeAndre Bembry miss layup after three, right? And the Warriors just put on a show in the third quarter.
Shout out De'Ron Sharp.
Let's not forget Steph didn't play half of that third quarter. That's how great this defense was.
Yeah, I mean, Steph put on the show, but the defense is, as usual, the defense was the consistent strain to why they were good. No player on the Warriors played over 30 minutes tonight. I thought Wiggins came alive. Wiggins has been playing pretty well since that Minnesota game. Hit that three at the end of the first half, but he was starting to come alive before that. And in the third quarter, he really started to get aggressive. Honestly, if Andrew Wiggins plays with this kind of aggression, you will never hear me put him in a trade proposal. You never hear me criticize him. You never hear any of it. This is literally what I want to see. It's not about the numbers with him. It's about playing with force and aggression.
Crossover behind the back blow by dunk against Blake Griffin. And I just looked at it. I said, this dude is acting so different tonight. I don't know what it was. It's not like Blake's a great defender, but that's the type of aggression where you're just like, holy shit.
But that's a play that like Wiggins of, 70% of his career, it's like, yeah, I could blow by you, but what if I just jab step and fade away? You know, that's the difference. The difference between this Wiggins is like, I can take you, I'm going to take you, and, you know, I'm getting to the rim and you're either going to put me on the free throw line or I'm getting 2 points. And the Wiggins who, you know, kind of been disappointment for most of his career where it's like, I can take you, but I kind of want to just take the fade away. So.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, sometimes it's that simple. Sometimes it's just like, if you have the advantage, take the advantage. That's literally all I want from him.
Huge threes, hit one over KD at the half, hit a few big ones top of the wing. His threes coming along after a slow start to the season. So, and then defensively, he's not defensive player of the year. He's not Andre Iguodala, but he's great. He's good. He's going to understand the assignment. He's like, he's kind of like Klay Thompson in like an ISO situations. He's going to do a great job. He's got great fundamentals. He's always going to contest, right? Like he's not ever going to make the bad plays defensively. And I think that's another thing where you look at the Warriors as a team versus Brooklyn. Brooklyn has a bunch of guys on the buyout market and a bunch of vets that, yeah, they're cool. They're big names, Patty Mills, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, but they don't play defense the way that the Warriors do. Right, like that's the stuff. That's the difference between the continuity that the Warriors have versus Brooklyn, and it shows in this type of game. And it's going to show throughout the season when you say 60 plus wins too. That stuff is going to show because they're going to do this night in, night out. Again, like they didn't make any shots tonight, Sam. That's the crazy part. They didn't make shots, and they won by 30. It's in.
Yeah, 13 for 40 from three, and that includes not Steph going 9 for 14. So the rest of the roster went 4 for 26.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's gross. Even if we take the garbage time stats out of it, we'll call it 4 for 20. That's not any better. You know, I mean, it's like they weren't shooting the ball well. A couple other players I want to call out that we haven't talked about. Like, obviously, Draymond was a star. Steph was a star. Wiggins was the number three man tonight. Jordan Poole, third quarter was phenomenal getting downhill. I think that's my favorite type of Jordan Poole. I think too often he tries to do a Steph Clay impression where he's coming off of screens and heat checking.
Yes.
And I still think he's that guy. I think he's the guy who needs to get the ball and get into the lane. He's got to play. And maybe it's hard with the Warriors because the Warriors want to move the ball so much and he wants the ball in his hands. But like he's best when he's going downhill.
He did have an incredible third. I'm getting a little bit more frustrated with the type of shots that he's putting up, but I think you got to live with some of that. He's struggling from three, and I think his shot is too pure to shoot that badly from three, so here's hoping that he's going to be better from that perspective. But him getting to the hole, that first step, CJ McCollum, who's we keep comping him to, doesn't have that first step. That first step is crazy. Like, I think of, and Sam, I'm not saying he's this person, but Austin Rivers has an incredible first step. And Jordan Poole has a first step where I think like, don't even bother about shooting the three unless it's a set shot three. Just get to the hole because nobody's stopping him get to the hole, especially if he switched on to guys like Aldridge and Blake. That's a bucket every single time. And yeah, he was phenomenal in the third when they pulled.
Yeah, drive and kick. And if you're not driving, kicking, your feet are set, shoot it. Pretty simple. I think he's getting there, but it's noticeable. His third quarter was wildly impressive. And that's like my favorite type of Jordan Poole when he's playing that decisive. The last player I want to single out today.
I know what it is.
And no, it's not Otto Porter with the nice block at the rim. Although Otto played a nice little game there. Jonathan
Kuminga. Is he 19 years old?
Yeah. Jonathan Kuminga. He's so more advanced at this stage than I thought he would be. I don't even know advanced at that right stage. But it's like, this is a big game. He's going against two of the handful of best wing size guys in the league and definitely the best one. Like KD's the best wing in the NBA. And he turned up. He had an excellent game. 6 rebounds, 7 points, 3 for 6 from the field, 19 points. I don't think those numbers do credit. He had an amazing block on Harden at the rim. He's looking more and more like a player to me.
You know what I
am trying to understand about Kuminga. How come he doesn't make mistakes? He's a 19-year-old kid playing against probably the best team in the Eastern Conference, and he doesn't make mistakes. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, he's the type of player that you said in the preseason pod that he's going to show more feel for the game than anyone thinks, and we're seeing it. He seems to be in the right place defensively. He also doesn't do dumb stuff on offense where he's too aggressive. Like, he knows what he is defensively and what he's not, and he's not going to try to do more. And it's kind of a refreshing change of pace because you don't expect that from a kid, especially from a kid that athletic that's always been able to do whatever he wants. So,
and this is where we got to get credit to the coaching staff, because last year, I don't know if this happens, but this year they got a young, talented player with the combination of physical tools and feel. Skill is not all the way there. And by that, I mean, like, you know, his jump shot's a work in progress, right?
Yeah, we're not talking about that tonight.
But what I think is interesting is they've got him rolling in, like, simplified role. You defend your ass off, you switch everything, and you make the simple play on offense. If you got a shot, you take it. If you don't, pass it and cut. And I don't know why he can't get more minutes, because, like, quite frankly, he can defend. That's the thing. That's the thing that really stands out to me. It's like, at some point he's going to have a game where, you know, he can't shoot the ball, but if he can defend, it's fine. He's going to be able to hang at this level. And I think the sky's the limit with him. I think what's exciting is they've actually been able to do what they said they wanted to do, which was win now and develop now, which is get Kuminga in a smaller role where he's helping the team as a role player now. But, you know, like, long-term, the hope is he can be kind of a frontline guy for this team. And last year, that looked like a pie-in-the-sky fantasy. This year, they look like the Spurs, man. This is like, I mean, Kerr said, like, Kawhi, and I was like, Steve, stop, you know? But it's like, it looks more like that, or Jaylen Brown, or one of these situations where you get a young guy into a good team, and he has a smaller role, but, you know, in like a couple of years, he's going to have a bigger role.
I tell you right now, Joe Lacob is doing unspeakable things in front of the mirror right now. I tell you right now, Joe Lacob is having the time of his life because he called this, he asked for this. And look, it's 14 games into the season, but they are exactly what he envisioned. And Jonathan Kuminga, credit to him, they put him in the right situation, but he's also willing. He's like a dirty work type of player right now. That's who he is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that if I was 19 years old as a seventh overall pick with that type of athleticism. I'd be like, screw you. I could play on the Rockets right now, average 18 points. Like, why would I want to do this? But that's the type of mindset that you want to be, that you want from a guy like that. And like, you know, if he fixes that shot, the sky's the limit. But great stuff from Kuminga. The fact that he can stay on the floor against KD and Harden, I thought he would have a miserable time tonight, to be honest with you, and no shot at him. That's just what happens against young guys. Stayed on the floor tonight, even played well. I just, it's crazy to think about the fact that they can have him in a rotation.
And he's the perfect fit because he's a multi-positional wing. This team was built on just putting versatility around Steph Curry. And like, Steph's the most versatile offensive player, but like, literally, all the success this team has had has been like, let's surround Steph with as many 6-7 guys who can do everything as possible. And Kuminga looks like another one of those guys. And he looks like a guy whose upside is through the roof. And we knew he had upside through the roof, but like, it's very encouraging that he can find a role, even if it's as a role player right now in year one, because the fear was he was going to be a guy who couldn't get on the floor for 2 years. And that doesn't look to be the case.
Nope.
He can at least get on the floor. He can get on the floor. It reminds me of Jaylen Brown. Remember Jaylen Brown year one? You're like, I don't know how good he is.
You called it.
I don't know how good he is, but he can do some things, you know?
I tell you what, like, Moses Moody and JTA couldn't have played the way that Kuminga played tonight. And Moses Moody and JTA we thought were better options for the rotation coming into the season. I'll tell you right now, like, Kuminga is making flash plays. That block against Harden with his left hand, that's the type of stuff where you think he's a small ball five. He could be an elite defender for a very long time. That's the stuff we saw from Draymond Green coming in. And so,
bring back Smile Geach. All right, we're going to open this up to...
Hey, relax.
We'll open this up to some goons.
Let's get the goons on.
Golden State Warriors basketball is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Warriors tickets anymore, because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NBA tickets. TickPick got rid of all the awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best price on all of their NBA tickets. If you don't believe it, if you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will actually give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. I actually did that for the San Francisco Giants game against the LA Dodgers game one, compared it to another site that I usually use. TickPick was actually cheaper. So there you go. But make sure you go to TickPick for all your Warriors tickets games this season. Visit TickPick.com today to save $10 on your first order of Golden State Warriors tickets. Again, it's TickPick.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Sergio, what's up, bro?
So, rumor has it KD is crying calling Kyrie from the park right now. but on a real note, the NBA is in a great place right now with the rule changes and whatnot. And my question for you guys is, once Klay's like integrated and healthy and whatnot, is there any reason to not start and close games with Steph, Poole, Klay, Wiggins, and Draymond? I mean, I feel like Poole deserves a long leash at this point. The guy was 0 for 7 from 3, still managed to hit his other 6 shots and put up a smart 17 points. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Ooh, that's interesting, Sergio. I would like to see Steve give it some shots, but like,
it's not happening.
It's not happening. So Steve's always going to default to defense. He just is. And that means guys like Iguodala are going to get shots over Jordan Poole. He's going to go with size around Steph.
Well, I mean, how good is Wiggins playing? If Wiggins is playing some semblance of what he did tonight, Iguodala.
He mentioned Wiggins.
But I'm saying, like, because sometimes Wiggins, I would say you can almost sit him if he's not playing well, like he did the first 5 games of the season. But Wiggins has been phenomenal. Sure. You're closing with that guy offensively and defensively, and I mean, Sam, I'd rather have Iguodala out there. I mean, he's going to make the right play. He's going to get the ball in Steph's hands.
I know. Forever Warrior Andy Lou is going to want. You're going to be like, where's Cody Ross? Get him up. No.
give me 100 pence back. Give me 100 pence back. Yeah, he's still got a little magic in him. He's got a little magic.
I would like the Charlotte game kind of annoyed me because I was like, Steve, just experiment a little bit, Bo. We don't need like Iguodala and Looney and Draymond for a November game against the Hornets, you know? But like the reality is that's how he's going to ride with it. Yeah, I don't know. I would love to see Poole get a shot at that, but I don't feel too confident it's happening.
Hey, look, the goal is not to develop Poole into a closer this season, right? The goal, I mean, it'd be nice.
Unless he forces it, it might come down to him just nuking everyone from deep and being like, Steve, You don't have a choice.
The hot streak's got to come. But hey, like for everything we're hearing about Clay, he looks great. He started 5-on-5. It looks like today in practice. So that's the easiest fucking fit of all time is putting Clay Thompson in this rotation. I mean, come on, it's going to be like riding a bike for these guys.
Do you want a guy who shoots the lights out, plays off ball as well as anyone, can guard multiple positions? Like it's easiest fit on of all time. But it is interesting. It is interesting, like because we know the three who are going to always be closing. Like, will Steve get creative, or will Steve ride with Wiggins and Iguodala? And I kind of think it's probably going to be the latter.
Yeah, he's doing Wiggs and Iggy. All right, keep it moving. Oh, early McWalter. All right.
Yo, what up, everyone?
Got a good day. Gotta get the pastor on to bring the energy up before we get to the rest of the
game. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm so stoked about this game. I mean, after the disappointment of last game, whatever, flush it. But to come in here and lay the smackdown and own the Nets arena, I mean, our guy Mikas is sitting there in the crowd. I'm sure some others that we know are in the crowd. And it was just wonderful to hear it. People, they were getting up on every Steph shot. It's like he played for them or something. It was absolutely complete ownage, and it was great. And you know what? It's another thing that the Warriors are looking this good. I mean, we kind of have this feel like the Spurs that are just going to be like an easy upper 50s, 60 wins. Who would have thought 60 wins? That's insane. And it really looks like it could happen. And we get Kuminga on top of this, who's looking not like the person that everyone wanted to project on him, but looking like a really good player and something that we should all be excited about. And that's all I got, guys. But hey, thanks for having me on. You guys rock. And hey, man, we
appreciate you, McWalter.
Sweep out the rest.
Appreciate you. McWalter's always brings the energy, takes everyone to the next level. Let's keep moving. Will, what's up, my man? We didn't get drinks on Friday. We just dapped it up. But, I owe you a beer. What you got for me?
Dude, I can't wait for that next one. who let pornography run on TNT tonight? That was a thing of beauty. My goodness. I want to start this off with a stat, fellas. This is from StatMuse. Steph Curry is leading the NBA in plus-minus right now. The gap between Steph and second place is bigger than the gap between second and 27th place. It is insane what this guy is doing tonight and this whole year.
Christ.
Curry, I mean, you guys nailed it at the beginning. This guy was locked in at like a Jordan Kobe level. It was soulless. He came here with a job to do, and he came out with a W against Brooklyn. That performance from Draymond Green tonight, that may have been – I'd have to really go back and see some of his defensive performances, but he held KD to 6 of 19 from the floor, who, in my opinion, is the toughest player to guard in the history of basketball. I mean, that is phenomenal stuff from Draymond. I want to ask you guys, is that the best you've ever seen Draymond play defensively? And then the last question I got for you guys is Kuminga. I'm excited about this kid. He's giving us something at 19 that, nobody was expecting. What is a player comp to Kuminga now that you've seen him and are now a little bit excited about him?
Oh.
Fellas, what a game. Michael Jordan. Let's keep it rolling. Go Dubs, baby.
Will, love you for calling in. What was Will's first question?
I'll handle that one. Is that the best that we've seen Draymond play? Look, in a game like this, the way that they came out in the first quarter, I thought the first quarter was NBA Finals quality, and I thought they were playing as hard. Like, these two teams were not fucking around, Sam. They came out and they said, this is a playoff game.
This wasn't a November 16th game.
No,
it was not. This was, like, whoever lost the game was going to be like, it's just November. But they were both coming out with, like, I want to let you know that we're the better team.
Yep. And that's the thing that you've always seen with the Warriors that Draymond's been great at is they grind you down. It's cool. You won the first quarter? Great. Maybe you have a lead going into the second quarter? Awesome. But you're not lasting four quarters against Draymond on defense, against Steph on offense. You're not.
I think my favorite thing about Draymond is, and I'll always think about this, remember the game in OKC, the infamous Steph game winner, the I'm not a robot game, by the way. To me, that's peak Draymond because he tried to fight Steve Kerr at halftime.
Classic.
He was like, it was a combustible situation. And then the second half started and he didn't care. Like, there are very few people I can think about who can put what happened behind them immediately and just lock in. And like Draymond is probably better than anyone in the world at that. Like, yeah, if I get into like a combustible situation with you where I like, you know, like I tell you, like I hate you and that sort of stuff, like it's going to take me like a little bit of time to like be a normal human again. Draymond can do that and then just snap to the next play, which is why he's like one of the greatest playoff players of all time. He doesn't let like the previous possession bother him. So
also means he's a psychopath, by the way, emotionally.
It does. Yeah. You have to have insane control to do that, man. But what I was going to say is, to Will's question, I don't know if Draymond's playing better than he ever has, but he's playing as well as he ever has. You know what I'm saying? Like he's like I don't think 100%. There's any difference between this and like 2016 with Draymond.
Part of it's offensive, right? And he was very good offensively all season. He went to the rim a couple times for layups. He even made a three, backpack Dre. I get like 15 texts every time he shoots a three, everybody with backpack emojis. Yes, I fucking get it. All right. He has a backpack on when he shoots a three. Great. But he made one. He's always yelling. He's always shouting. And I think those are the things that, look, there's nothing better than Steph making a shot. It brings the energy up. But it's something different when Draymond makes a three. Like it's like a pitcher that goes up to bat and hits an RBI single. It's just, it's something like
what it's demoralizing. Yeah. Yeah. No,
it's demoralizing. You
that's
know,
actually, like, that's actually a perfect analogy. When the pitcher, like you're like, all right, two runners on, pitcher's up, let's get out of the inning. And the pitcher fucking hits one, like doinks one past the second baseman. You're like, oh, come on. That was the easy out, man. What do we do?
There's nothing worse. It's nothing worse. Like we know Belt's going to hit a homer or whatever the Giants are doing last season. But when Gausman hits a sack fly to win a game, it hurts something different. And the energy is way higher. So, geez. The second question is about Kuminga. And
Shout out my guy Urias with the key hit in game four. Anyway, right, whatever.
Fuck you. Kuminga comparison. You take that one. Kuminga comparison.
Dude, sky high with Kuminga. I don't even know what to say, but like I love the fact that he's multi-positional wing at this point. Like, is he Jaylen Brown? Is he Pascal Siakam? Is he Kawhi Leonard? Like, I don't know. He's got a little bit of all of them. That's the thing, man. It's like there's nothing more exciting than like a wing who can do a little bit of everything because you feel like there's no limit on their skill set, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say Siakam probably just because I think the shot would take longer, but let's keep it moving. I mean,
because then you're not like imagining a scenario where he turns into a knockdown shooter, which seems unrealistic. All right, let's keep moving.
Ooh, he's got his arms in his face.
Ryan.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, man?
We're like a club right now. People are in line waiting to get in for bottles. You know, people got on the guest list, stuff like that. What's up, Ryan?
Ryan coming through with the pure Persian style, just all black Rolex. It's just ready to go.
Yes. I got Gucci cologne on too. Oh my God.
What's up, man?
Okay, 9-1 was the Andy Lou game. This was clearly the Dieter game, in my opinion. First of all.
Okay.
Okay, there's three things I want to hit on. A, Draymond held Kevin Durant in the third quarter to 0-for-8, 0-for-4 on threes, -17, and three turnovers, I believe. Draymond really put his imprint on that third quarter and just showed that he's worth more than the box score. Kevon Looney, man, he had James Harden back in Houston seeing flashbacks. That was fantastic third quarter defense by him. And then third, I think Kuminga could get legit rotation minutes on a playoff team. Like, you're going to be seeing, like, wait, Kuminga's playing playoff minutes? It's just, it seems like he has that controlled chaos thing down that this team loves. And I'm really high on this team. We are adding back Clay, which is just going to improve the spacing. And hopefully Wiseman could just provide a rim-running threat for, like, 6 to 12 minutes. And that's all I got. I'm really excited.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Yeah, man. Good call. Let's keep moving. Maxwell, what's up, man?
I had two questions. First one is, if all things considered, do you think Steph is not the best player ever, but the most impressive player ever? You know, because you've heard for so many years, oh, AI is the pound-for-pound GOAT. I think we clearly know that Steph now. So do you think he's the most impressive player ever? And Secondly, do you think this is Kerr's finest coaching job up until this point?
Ooh, Maxwell, great question.
I mean, Steph has a case versus anyone because, like, anyone you think is better than Steph Curry is physically more impressive. Like, it's like six wings. Like, yep. It's like, oh, 100%. LeBron's better than Steph. Yep. Oh, I should fucking hope so. Like, you see how he looks, you know, like that sort of thing. Like, it's like you're talking about giants, man. That sort of thing. So yep. It's like I've never heard anyone be like, Isaiah Thomas is better than Steph. Seriously, you know, like guys were like smaller than him, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, 6'3 point guard shooting from 35 feet and MVP, three titles and a dynasty. Like, there's impressive, most skilled. I think most skilled is a good way to call Steph Curry. He's the most skilled player of all time. He has maximized the skills, the size, the talent that he has to, I think, its breaking point. If you want to think of a person with Steph's size, you can't get any better than what Steph is. Like, what else is he supposed to do out there? Protect the rim?
Let's put it this way. Steph and CJ McCollum are the same size. CJ McCollum is one of the most skilled players in the NBA. Like, I think he's phenomenal. And like Andy's laugh says it all. Like, CJ is a really good player. And Steph is, you know, one of the greatest of all times. Like, it's just insane.
It's insane what he can do given his physical limitations.
Yeah, I forgot the second question. So,
I did too. I did too. Where it's too much of a Steph Wax product type of night.
Yeah, we'll keep it moving because the VIP line's running. But apologize, Maxwell.
It is running. This is a one question kind of night for callers.
Oh wait, hold on. Steve's coaching. Somebody said, is this his best coaching job?
I mean, it's up there with 15 for me. It feels like 2015 to me, where it's like does. any critique you have of him, and it's like. You know, we could be honest. Like, I didn't like the way he closed the Charlotte game, but like in the aggregate, you're like, what are we really complaining about? Like, it's minor in the scheme of everything.
Right. The best coaching job was 14-15. They won a freaking championship. He broke the NBA with his system offensively and defensively. So that's the best. We'll see what happens this season.
It's trending on that level, though. All right, Novo, what you got, man?
Great game here tonight. Love the energy. Loved all the players. Not to be a downer here, but I know Nets were missing Joe Harris. That could have changed the game, you know, quite a bit because their offense was so cramped today. It would have provided some spacing. I got a question for you guys. That's a change of pace. I think the Warriors' kryptonite this season is the switching defenses. You kind of saw that in the Hornets game, earlier this game, and even the Memphis loss, right? So what do you guys think? How do we beat those switching defenses?
Oh. Hey, it's a fair question. So I would agree that the Warriors' biggest issue is if you have a team that doesn't have to double Steph. Like, if you don't have to double Steph, then Steph's not creating the advantage that the team thrives off of. So the question, so one, Clay helps because Clay will kill you. The other is like, I don't know.
Jordan Poole or Andrew Wiggins taking a step as a shot creator. Is that other thing? Because end of the day, Steph's still going to commit more bodies than any player in the NBA. So it's about who can take advantage of it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's Clay coming back and how he fits. And I think mostly it's Jordan Poole. I think Andrew Wiggins, hey, shit. I mean, maybe he parlays these three games into the next 50 and he's this consistently great. That would be awesome. But I think Jordan Poole, it's about him. Can he handle those bench minutes? Can he also start the game and play more under control? I think Steve's right about this. I think he's getting a little bit more annoyed with the turnovers and the bad shots. But can he play more under control? Because when he does, he really is a very, very good shot maker at the rim. And I think even Steph this year, with as great of a season as he had, he's been pretty mediocre at the rim. Part of that is just going to be regression. But I think Jordan Poole could be a very good scorer at the rim. They need that. Because we saw that against Charlotte and Memphis. Some games, Steph is not going to make all those shots. That's no player in history is going to make all those shots. So don't need an outlet like that. So hopefully that's someone. I think it's a little bit reliant on Jordan.
Asher, what's up, man? We can hear you. Nice picture.
She stole my Jordan Poole picture last time, so I just steal hers.
Nice.
Anyways, yeah, I just want to shout out Lightyear's Radio, but I also want to shout out the radio itself because I was driving home and it was awesome to listen to it on the radio. Got a quick question for you guys. So Kuminga came in for like 6.8 seconds and really earned the other minutes he got. And that just seems like this year versus last year, guys really have to earn their minutes in the game instead of, you know, Wiseman just getting the starter minutes right from the get-go. I wonder what you guys think of that change in the development process and how it's led to like Gary Payton going crazy and like other guys that I didn't expect to do anything this year to play like super well.
I like that. That's a great point. I do wonder what would have happened if Wiseman had to earn minutes like last year. Like, does this happen if he is maybe not playing as often and he only gets on the court when he really wants to earn it? I think it's beneficial for the team to play this way, but like, it is an interesting question.
Yeah. I mean, also part of last season was they had to do it out of necessity. I mean, JTA was closing games by the end of the season, but at the beginning of the season, they had no idea if he could or not. We barely even knew who JTA was. And so part of that was roster construction. I mean, what are you really supposed to do? We knew Steve hated the roster last season. He pretty much said it from the first freaking practice, right? So this season, now they're so deep that JTA can't get on the floor. It's not like he's a bad basketball player. He can't even play out there.
No, he's a good player.
Yeah. So I think that's part of what it is. And I don't know. Have you ever seen Steve this freaking happy? I mean, this is...
It's been a while.
I mean, geez.
All right, let's keep moving. Nano, what's up?
Hey.
What's up?
How's it going? What you got for us?
Hell yeah. How y'all been?
Yeah, just chugging along. Having a good time.
12 and 2, living the dream.
Yeah, living the dream. I don't even know where to start.
Andrew Wiggins playing well, your boy. I mean, we could start there.
Oh, my God. You know, I've been his biggest critic, too. He's playing so well. He seems so engaged and aggressive. And you could just tell his threes start falling after he just gets engaged, gets a few layups in. My guy Jordan Poole needs to calm down shot selection now. He's a little bit much of Steph Curry discipline. Mm-hmm. We joked about it a lot, and then he turned into Steph Curry without the Steph Curry ability to shoot. And then we got like this. Let's just talk about our defense. So, like, I don't know, that's the part of our game we don't address.
Yep.
But like the third quarter when that defense locked in, like KD really choked in that second half. 3 points, like what was he, like 1 for 9, 0 for 8, 3 points, free throws. I mean, come on. Like, Draymond, respect to that man, bro. Like, he's just, oh. Like, I know he doesn't get credit because it's not that pretty, but, oh, like, it doesn't look pretty. The stats don't show up. But what he did in that third quarter, like, what he did to KD.
It was art.
It's not what he was doing. It's how, y'all seeing the way he was directing people on defense? I was watching this man. He was literally telling them where to step every 5 seconds, and it was affecting everybody's shot. So we all are, like, a complete defensive team in that third quarter. And that was just amazing to see. And then the spacing of this team just, like, we're only getting better. Like you said, we're so deep and we haven't even played our roster. Having, like, GP getting all these quality minutes, just energy, you know? That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And also, Kuminga, I'm glad he's getting some reps because he's holding his own. He's earning these minutes. And the more he keeps doing this, the more minutes he's going to get. We got to stop these post-ups on Kuminga, though. That's a little too soon. We're wilding with that.
Yeah, we saw that with Wiseman last year. We might want to cut those out, but yeah.
Yeah, we out of pocket. Like, Steve Kerr, you give him an inch, he takes a mile. Like, sir, like, we're not doing this whole stuff. And also, Belly need to stop putting the ball on the ground. Like, it's over. Like, I mean, somebody's got to talk to him, bro. Shoot the wide open shot. I don't know why you're so scared. You're shooting like 50%. I don't know what your problem is. Stop putting the ball on the ground. But we haven't even played our best. That's why this is so amazing.
I agree.
Like, we out here throwing turnovers, fouling. Like, we've got our best player with 4 fouls with 7 minutes left in the third quarter. Like, this is not considered playing your best. This is considered playing really well, and we can only get better without even Klay returning. I'm not talking about Klay and Wiseman returning. I'm talking about this core itself can get better and, like, play less more intense and, like, less turnovers and focus early. Because I think this is, like, the fifth game in a row we gave up 30-plus points in the first quarter. Like, if we just start the game, like, competent team, I mean, we don't have to always be fighting back and relying on this big third quarter. Like, it was just amazing. Usually we end the game in the third quarter, but in our case, we start playing in the third quarter.
I think it's a great point on that. I think the Warriors come out and they do run a marathon, though. I think part of it is they see this with James Harden, too. Whatever James Harden is doing, he's dribble, 80 freaking dribble combos of possession. And you just know what's going to happen in the third. The dude's exhausted because he's 800 pounds. Like, we see this every single season. It's unreal. And he did it tonight.
Draymond looked like prime Draymond. Like, let's just really like, bring it back. the time, like even the backpack three-pointer came out today. Like it was just like Draymond just like I don't even know how to like compliment him today, but as somebody who's been hating on Draymond for a bit, but he's like he's not like shying away from an open layup. If he sees the open layup, he's taking it. And he's not like
he really is.
He's not like and he's also has given Steph how to say this, a better shot. Like Steph, like he would get the ball back from Steph and redirect him to a better shot. Like honestly, if Steph just hits his wide open shots, I think he could be averaging 40 points a game. Like Steph is really holding himself back in this instance. Like Steph is not missing shots. He's just missing wide open shots, not missing the contested shots. And Steph's ability to find mismatches. Like, I don't know how he was always ending up with Blake Griffin on him or somebody. Like, it was just out of pocket last night. And then tonight. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, how did he get mismatches to come towards him? And I don't know. This team just, I mean, it's amazing just to see how this team is going. Yeah.
And I agree.
Our favorite home court game this year had to be in Brooklyn. That was one home court.
That's gonna be a little added for insult there. Nah, we appreciate you here.
That was thanks, Senator, for jumping on.
That crowd was ridiculous. I get why KD wanted to go to Brooklyn. He wanted his own team. He wanted to play with his friends. I think he knew that they wouldn't be the biggest market. But to have the Warriors come in and Steph come in.
MVP. By the way, we have someone calling from the arena right now. We have to get to Mike Mekas here.
Let's go. Mekas, you were at the game.
Calling from a bar in Brooklyn. What's up, my man?
Calling from a taxi to get to a Manhattan bar, actually, just for
connection.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Do you still take taxis? Wow, I didn't know that was still a thing.
We're in a taxi because the train was it was 18 minutes away. The Uber was 20 minutes. We're taking a taxi, you know? It is what it is.
Hell yeah.
It was fun watching a home game for the Warriors in Brooklyn. I really enjoyed that. The crowd was so loud watching Steph Curry play Kevin Durant in Jabba the Hutt. I enjoyed that quite a bit. I got to say, watching him live, there's never been a better basketball player to like shoot a basketball than Steph Curry. I mean, we knew this going into the game, obviously. But I mean, my Lord, every time he shot the ball, you could hear the whole crowd take like a 1 second bated breath, like inhale. You could hear them all get nervous, and then the ball would splash through the hoop, and everybody would just let out a sigh. That was the gentrified Nets fans all wearing their Brooklyn jerseys. And then the good fans, the good people in the arena, the honest hoop fans wearing their Warriors jerseys, let out exclamations, cheers, grateful energy, watching the best player in basketball hit shots. I mean, it was truly unbelievable.
Mekas, give us a so on TV it seemed like there was a lot of Warrior fans there. Give me the in-arena feel.
I would say
percentage wise.
I would say 55-45 Warriors.
Oh,
and I don't
God.
I'm tempted to say 60-40, but 55-45 feels correct.
You've been a modest man.
Modest man right here. But I mean, it was like every person I walked by was wearing a 30 or an 11. There was a lot of Clay jerseys.
That's right. Jerseys. Man, that's going to be exciting. Clay's return is going to be emotional.
I'm trying to fly out to San Fran and see a fucking. I'm trying to see Clay in Chase Center. You guys are going to have to take me out to the bar when I get there.
Relax with the San Fran.
Andy's about to tell you never refer to it as San Fran.
Relax with the San Fran. But
Frisco's acceptable.
Frisco's acceptable. Okay, well, I apologize, but
I got you on a double shot of Jameson when you're back.
You better have me on a double shot of Jameson because you know, New York, they're charging $19 for $38 for a double of vodka soda here. I mean, we got to get out of this fucking.
Disgusting. Oh, wait, what are you talking about? That's SF. I mean, that's the same
thing. Yeah, I guess we're the two most expensive cities in the world. But, hey, shout out to Warriors Nation. Shout out to our boys. They fucking killed it tonight. I told everybody Steph was going to drop 37. I tweeted it out before the night. I didn't put a ticket on it. And, of course, because I didn't put a ticket on it, he fucking did it. I said he was going to have six threes in 37. Of course. I didn't do it tonight. He doesn't. I'm disgusted.
Mekas, we appreciate you. Enjoy your evening,
I appreciate you guys.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Let's keep moving. Tyler, what's up, man?
Hey, first-time caller. I live out on the East Coast, so I don't get the live calls very often.
Nice.
Hey, so was this a real team, or are they going to move the goalpost again in the morning?
Tyler, appreciate.
Obviously, well, it depends. Stephen A. is about to hit First Take tomorrow and give the same diatribe. This would be a 10-minute. It's like, and they're going to get Klay Thompson back. And when they get him back, they're going to win the title. So, but we saw our friend, by the way, Tyler, I appreciate it, Skip Bayless hit the timeline, already pivoting to the Steph.
You know why, right? Yeah, I was going to say. And you know why he's pivoting.
Because the clicks got to come through. LeBron's yesterday's news.
LeBron's done. I mean, the Lakers are an absolute joke. So he's saying, all right,
is it over?
Shit, I wish. I hope. But he, you know, who's the next man up? It's Steph. All right.
Keep moving. Paritosh, what's up, my man?
Hey, Sam and Andy, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on?
I wanted to ask about Kuminga, of course. I'm trying to take a victory lap about him first. And then, nice. So there was a report today that Steph wants to go win all. So if there's a trade for Kuminga, are we going to explore that? Do you think we should, or would we be trading away the next Kawhi Leonard if we do? That's all.
Ooh. Okay, so Andy, by the way, Paritosh, appreciate the question. I want to clarify this one, and we'll talk about this a lot on the pod. Steph wants to win. Steph does not care how they construct the roster. I don't think he's dying to have anyone traded. He is not. I also don't think he's dying to be part of a 15-year rebuild. So it's like, it's a little more nuanced. Like, people think like, oh, they want to win now. He clearly wants to do the LeBron thing and trade everyone. It's not that. It's a little more nuanced. So the more they win with this young group where this whole like big window looks possible, the more he's going to be on board for that, in my opinion.
Steph is, he is never going to go out of his way to say, we should make this happen, make this trade. We should do this. He is never going to do that. What Steph is going to say is he's going to say, put the options in front of me and you let me know what you choose in the reasoning. He's just a mature dude. Like, he's not going to say we need to trade for Russell Westbrook because he's a great name when Buddy Hield's on the market. Like, he's not going to do something like that. If Ben Simmons is on the market and the Warriors present him options, he's going to say, all right, do we do this? Should we do this? Like, he's not going to say, oh, let's just make it just to make it. And he's also going to step out of the way of Bob Myers. Like, he's going to let the guys do their jobs. That's what makes him one of the best leaders, really, of all time in sports, because he lets people do their jobs. Right?
Like, yeah, he's more the type to be like, Daryl Morey, that is a ridiculous trade request, and we should walk away from that instead of just telling Bob, like, get it done. I don't care, you know, without thinking about it might help you today, but in 2 months, you might be pretty upset that you have zero bench, you know?
Steph does look long-term more than anybody that I've ever seen from a star. He does look long-term. So, I mean, from a guy that's going to be 34, that looks like his prime is going to stretch for another 3 years, Sam. Yeah.
6 years. 7 years.
Yes.
Yeah. Never aging. No, I agree with you. Let's keep moving. Bernardo, what's up, man?
Hello. So, I'm so high on this team and on things that the Brazilian law doesn't allow me to be on. But I just don't know what to say. I really, like, as I can see, Draymond and Iguodala decided to clone themselves into Kuminga or something. Because, like, what this guy is doing defensively as a 19-year-old playing Harden and Durant, guarding them both, it's ridiculous. It's something like, and I don't know. I like Andy's called me less green room. Every win makes me more confident that Klay Thompson would be better than he was in the last dynasty. Because I don't know why, just psychologically makes me feel more confident about him coming back. And I don't care. Like, if he comes back 85%, this team's winning the title. And I don't know what to think about next year when Kuminga is better. And then just shouts to Draymond. Like, what this guy does defensively is... I mean, I was saying on Twitter earlier, not to sound like Skip Bayless, but in 10 years, we might be talking about the best offensive player and the best defensive player ever played together in the Warriors. Because I don't know what to say about Draymond and Curry anymore. So that's it. Have a good night.
Bro, I appreciate the call.
I have nothing to add to that. I mean, it's things are looking up, Andy.
I tell you what.
Stock check, stock high. It's Bitcoin hitting what? 70, 80 right now?
Don't buy. Hold on. Dear life. Come on. Easy. Look, man, the impact that these guys have made is I don't know if we'll ever see something like this in the next 20 years. Steph and Draymond changing the way the game is played defensively and then Steph changing it offensively. Man, it's special stuff. Special stuff.
All right. Kiso, what's up?
Hello, guys. I'm a first-time caller. Super excited.
Appreciate it.
First of all, can we give Steph defensive player of the year already? Like, this man is out here locking up Harden. Like, I could watch that clip 100 times, and I would feel so fulfilled. Also, justice for, what's his name, Blake Griffin. Like, they left this man on an island for how long, and Steph just abused him so many times. I felt bad for him, honestly. Like, it was kind of sad. And also, somebody need to take Skip Bayless home. I cannot stand that man anymore. He annoys the heck out of me. Oh my god. Anyways, good night, yo.
Appreciate the call. By the way, we didn't even talk about this, but like, we kind of let James Harden off lightly tonight, Andy.
Oh, my God.
We spent the last 6 years with people telling us James Harden is on the same level as Steph Curry and Kevin Durant.
Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. Get your Logan Roy on. Just to say it again. Say it again for me.
Fuck off. You know, like, what are we doing here? Like, by the way, did you see Steph's eyes when he switched on to Harden? Steph was like, give this to me. He was like, let me defend this guy. And Harden wasn't getting those calls as much anymore, even though he shot like 10 free throws tonight. But Steph wasn't scared. The fouls that Steph took was just dumb. It wasn't really on Harden. But I think Steph was scared.
I think it's so disrespectful. They were like, all right, you know, KD, we get it. That guy is all time. But James, it's a Tuesday night assignment, you know? That's like, they treated him like, you know, they seem more concerned with Patty Mills than James Harden to me. And that's where we're at right now. And it's just like, I mean, he's a really good, he's a great player, but like, let's just not in the same, you know, you can discuss Steph and KD and I'm never going to get mad at you for what your opinion is there, but like, please, you know, it's discuss Harden with Dame and, you know, all these other like second tier guys. So,
yeah. Right. Oh, my God. All right. We're on a heater tonight.
All right. We got a couple more callers to get to. Ben, what's up, man?
Yo, first time caller, long time in the Discord and premium member. So thanks for all you guys do.
Appreciate it.
Shout out to all the goons, although I don't think any of us can get to Mikas's level tonight. I was also in Barclays and I wanted to talk about the crowd for a second because Mikas was being generous. I saw a Chris Mullin jersey. I saw a Monta Ellis jersey.
We had a Monta jersey in the crowd?
Wow.
Yes, we did. And my section tried to get the long Warriors chant going a couple of times. Didn't really succeed.
Nice.
But yeah, there were I counted five jerseys within three rows of me, you know, and it was loud when Steph was in that fourth quarter going for 40. Like, the whole arena wanted that shot to go in. So my question is, where else can we play a home game on the road?
Ooh, I actually think they can play a home game on the road in most arenas. Like,
I think anywhere.
Every Clippers game is a home game.
Think about this. When they were going 73-9, they were in Washington and they were in the midst of their run, and there was a home game, right? I think anywhere where the team's not great and people aren't going to Houston to watch Jalen, well, maybe, but they aren't going to watch Christian Wood.
There's only about three teams in the NBA where the home crowd might be strong enough to stop a Warriors contingent from coming in. Three might even be selling it strong. I think they can do it basically everywhere, particularly when the team is rolling.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, like in the chat, Will's mentioning Orlando. Like, yes, Cole Anthony jerseys aren't outnumbering Steph Curry jerseys.
Pretty good season, though. Pretty good season. I'll say this.
Anthony's nice.
I had no idea that he'd be this good. I want to see Steph in New York. I want to see him in Madison Square. I don't know when that game's going to be, but that atmosphere is going to be incredible, considering New York's not bad. So, like, it might be a good game. It's going to be a great atmosphere. I can't wait for that.
Yes, keep moving. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
How many shots deep? Jesus Christ.
No, it's a Tuesday night, guys. It's a Tuesday night.
Well, it's a Tuesday for us, too, but, you know.
Yeah, you know, you got to get after it.
I think the thing that nobody's acknowledged yet is that we are a sports, entertainment, media, and technology company, and that organizations win championships. Joe Lacob was right. I bend the knee. Joe has always, always, always been right. I would never say different.
Wow. Wow.
It hurts. It hurts you.
Tim, yeah, Tim got, cut this up and throw it. Tim, are you cut this up and put this on the timeline.
Yeah. Yeah,
But so I think the thing that nobody's really like, we touched on it in different ways. Steph was obviously amazing tonight. Draymond, same thing.
Sure.
But I think the thing that gets overlooked with these guys every single time, and including Kerr and Clay, is how fucking competitive they are. They are three or four of the biggest competitors in the entire league. And they're on the revenge tour this year. You can see it with Kerr leaving Steph in to get 50 against the Hawks, leaving him in to like pour it on Brooklyn a little bit tonight. These guys think they really have a chance to win a championship again.
Yeah.
And you can just see it in their demeanor and the way they're going about things. Draymond's turning back the clock. He looks incredible. I can't believe people ever wanted to trade that guy. They just look awesome. But my question would be, I think this team is going to coast to 50 or 60 wins as long as they don't get injured. But looking at the playoffs, besides maybe another shot creator, do you see any other areas that they can shore up? Is Kuminga going to be good enough by the playoffs to maybe help them on the front line in spot minutes? Where do you think they can clean things up a little bit? Because right now, I think they're going to be a great regular season team, but the question with them has always been in the playoffs, do they have enough counters against the best defenses?
Yeah.
God, I love that question. Love the fact that we're looking that far down the line, but like, do you really, Andy, let me ask you this. Do you think they need interior defense or anything inside?
I think it's going to be the wing. I think it's offense. Actually, I think their defense is going to be fine if Andre Iguodala is going to pace himself.
And we're assuming health. Like obviously, if Draymond gets banged up, then there's another need. You need someone to kind of like take some burden off of him. But like we're assuming health. Yes,
I think it's the offense. Is there a fifth person that can make that shot? Closing lineup's going to be the core three plus Andre. And Andrew Wiggins, can they have that fifth guy hit that shot? We saw in Toronto they didn't because it was Kevon Looney. And who knows, maybe they could have won anyway, but they didn't have that
shout
fifth
out
guy.
Cook. Shout out Jonas Tarefko.
Quinn Cook literally shit his pants. I saw it in real time. But it's like, do they have that guy? Is it Jordan Poole? Is it Andrew Wiggins? Is it Nemanja Bjelica? Is it Otto Porter? Is it Jonathan Kuminga? We don't know. But the good thing is they have 60 games for those guys to develop to be that player. Namely, I think they have 60 games for Jordan Poole to develop into that player. So I don't know, but I think that's what is going to be, hey, is this a championship team or is this, you know, I don't know. Is this a Western Conference Finals team? I don't know. But like that, I think that fifth guy offensively is the missing ingredient.
Yeah, I think Clay will determine if they're good on the wings and they have enough shooting. So for me, it's really shot creation. Like, it could be Jordan Poole, or it could be that they need to get Ricky Rubio on the buyout market or something like that, you know? And I'm not saying he's going to get bought out. The way Cleveland's playing, they're not going to be a buyout team. But, like, to me, it's – unless you have injuries, which, like, are all – like, honestly, let's be real. The injuries will probably dictate the buyout market. Like, someone being banged up, maybe Looney's banged up, and that'll demand that you get another big or something like that. But, like, to me, it really is just shot creation because as the roster's constructed, I think they have enough of everything if they stay healthy.
Yeah. Andrew Wiggins is going to create some fucking shots, I'll tell you that.
All right, we're going to end it on one last caller here. Let's go to Larry. Ooh,
the closer, Camilla Duvall.
Larry, what's up, man?
Okay.
There you are.
A couple of, everybody's talked about most of the things I would say, but there's three things about Steph Curry that I want to bring up. One is he couldn't play defense. Okay. And I'm really, really sad that happened. number two, none of us were sorry. We were all pretty sorry that we couldn't get Blake Griffin in that same draft, but we got Steph Curry at 7. And tonight was Steph Curry imposing his will on Kevin Durant. I think this was personal tonight. I think he made sure of the result, and it might have been part of the reason for the Charlotte loss. But we're just so lucky to watch this guy. And, you know, everybody else, I mean, Draymond, I agree, but last year he kind of sucked. And every game I watch this year makes me hate last year's roster even more.
100%. Okay. 100%. That's actually the perfect quote for this. Every game we watch makes us hate last year's roster more.
It's just awful. But thanks for letting me talk. I'll let you guys go. It was always fun listening to the crowd.
Larry, appreciate you. That's actually a perfect way to end it. But go ahead, Andy.
Yeah. No, I think he said something that I think we should cap off with, Sam. Steph is a motherfucking killer. I mean, that's Steph Curry, man. Like, we will never see another one like him.
Yep. All right. Appreciate you all.